from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yep. Doug up. Bleed Blue Show, baseball episode. Going to get back into this. Let's see what happened with the Yankees and a little bit around baseball. BleedBlueShow.com, of course, is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify for the millennials. Let's see. Hopefully, we got a better connection this week because we struggled. And I put a lot of blame on myself on that one. I think that a lot of that was on me. I'm still on cloud nine, man. Let me say this real quick before we get into the baseball, man. I'm still on cloud nine. I was ready to do the Dame Lillard video on the Bleed Blue Show page. I was going to do the video of the Dame Lillard joint. Talk about over at the NBA bubble, right? And then the news comes down to fight that through the NHL lottery on the NHL Network that the Rangers got the overall pick for the 2020 NHL draft. You know, so I'm ecstatic. You know, the Rangers got the number one overall pick. I didn't even think that was going to happen. You know, that was a lucky circumstance situation that the Rangers fell in. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow, of course, with RP, Ranger Proud. Talk about that with the Blue Shirts, but the Rangers getting the number one overall pick. I'm excited for that, man. Because, you know, I didn't really watch a lot of Yankee baseball over the weekend, honestly, because I was on the go. I was in traveling mode, and I did catch the Sunday game, and the Yankees were up 3-0, and they blew the lead later in the seventh inning with the two home runs to tie it up, and then the Yankees gave it up with pass balls by Gary Sanchez. I did see all this, man. I did catch all this from the Yankees on Sunday. I had to go back and watch what happened Friday and the doubleheader on Saturday. And the Yankees left some stuff on the table, man. They should have came out of there with at least a split. See, the thing is about the Yankees were in the driver's seat to really have some separation in the AL East, and they did not get that this weekend. And then you add on the fact they lost 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia. So we have to discuss this, man. Hopefully we have a good connection. Let's bring on this, you know, the Yankee fans, the stakeholders, and have some dialogue about this. We'll try to knock this out in about, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes, give or take. But I'm still excited for the Rangers. We'll talk about that on Tuesday. But as far as the baseball, man, the Yankees is still, you know, a couple of games ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. This is why I say this is an exciting season because, as we all know, we all wrote Baltimore off. And they've been hanging around. Not only have they been hanging around, they've been putting the can of whoop-ass on some teams like the Nationals. So, Jimmy, what's up, man? Hope we got a better connection this week going around. Hope all is well. Say hello to the people, then we'll get everybody else on. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, man. I'm good, man. You know, crazy game all the weekend. Yeah, you know what? That game yesterday was just there was no excuse to blow a lead like that. You know, yeah. You know, you're up 3-0 against.
Hold on, Jimmy. We'll get to all that. Hold on, Jim. We're going to get to all that. Lou, what's up, man? It's been a while. The villain's with us. What up, Lou? I hope all is well. And then we'll go back to Jimmy. How's everything, Louie?
Oh, everything's good, man. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad. I'm happy to hear familiar voices, ready to talk this nonsense on this rotation.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's do that. All right, go ahead, Jimmy. We're going to fire away with you, and then we'll go back to Louis. Jimmy, I didn't see a lot of the games. I had to go back and watch a lot of it and fast-forward it because I knew what happened. See, it's the thing, like, I was so on the go this weekend that I didn't have a chance to sit down and watch it like normally like how you and Louis would. But I knew the outcome, so I knew that it was really one of those situations. I knew what happened because I saw the score on the alerts on what happened, so I did go back and watch. But, Jimmy, I mean, give us your thoughts on what happened losing 3 out of 4 to Tampa. If you even want to go back to losing 2 out of 3 to Girardi in Philadelphia, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but, you know, we kind of expected better. What's your thoughts, Jimmy, and then we go to Lou?
Yeah, man, you know, first I got to start with, you know, Sunday's game. I mean, you know, Paxton has to Paxton has to get his stuff together, man. You know, you can't to be a good pitcher in this league. You know, you have to you gotta have a good command. You gotta have a good command of your stuff. You know, and I feel like Paxton doesn't have that right now. Like, he gets in a rhythm. He gets in a rhythm once in a while. You know, and then he loses it. You know, and that's what happened. That's what happened yesterday, basically, was that, you know, we were up 3-0, and all of a sudden, you know, his command started to go, and as soon as Brandon Lowe hit that home run, I think it was all done for him. So, you know, if you don't get his command, man, I think we're in big trouble as far as him goes. I mean, it seems like the only reliable guy that we have right now. Well, only two reliable guys are Garrett Cole and Tanaka. You know, you can't have only two reliable guys. You know, two reliable weapons in your disposal. It's okay, but it's not great. You know, somebody else has to step up there. So that's my big concern right now. You know, and as far as the Phillies go, well, you know, they're a tough team on a roll, and, you know, that's what's going to happen in a weird season like this, is that, you know, you're going to have those kind of things. So I think we have to regroup, and, you know, we got to just hope we get better in some areas, man.
Right. Hey, Lou, what's going on? It's been a minute, man. What's your thoughts as what you saw the last two series on the road in Philly and versus the Braves? And what's your thoughts, man? You mentioned the rotation at the top, so if you want to expound on that or anything else.
Oh, yeah, I tell you. Number one, I've noticed two things about this rotation. Number one, the way our rotation looks right now, it's Garrett Cole and then pray for rain, because it rain out, and then wait till Garrett Cole pitches again, because everybody in the middle of the rotation is awful. And the second thing I noticed, Gary Sanchez doesn't know how to call a baseball game. And I'm watching batters get good swings and good pitches to hit on 0-2 counts. Like, I can't tell you how many base hits, how many home runs, how many booming doubles are being hit on 0-2 pitches. Like, that's the catcher. That ain't a pitcher. That's the catcher. And, you know, I've never, you know, Gary has, I think outside of his rookie season when he came up and hit all them home runs in a couple games in a row, Gary has been less than stellar. He's not, I mean, he's improved defensively, but he's still not good defensively. And now I realize he don't know how to call a baseball game. Your pitcher should not be giving up meatballs on 0-2 counts. It should never be happening. Look, Hap is terrible. Like, he's good and terrible. And then Paxton's problem is that Paxton pitches to strike out. He don't pitch for outs. So if Paxton isn't getting 7 or 8 Ks a game, he's giving up 5-6 runs an outing. And it's because he's pitching for strikeouts. We don't have a bad defensive team. We just don't. We're not bad defensively. LeMahieu is holding it down in the center, and I'm telling you, I think Glaber's, he's promising defensively as well. We know Urshela can pick it. You know, Luke Voit, you know, he's the first baseman. I mean, you got what you got. But you have cannons in the outfield. Play to your defense. Trust your defense. But Paxton, if he's not striking out, he's giving up meatballs. And we know Hap is at the end of his career, pretty much. Like, he's got nothing left in the tank. He's walking 5-6 guys a game. He's pitching a contact. If he loses the fastball early, he cannot get the corners to save his life. Now, a lot of it has to do with umpire strike zones, and a lot of it has to do with who's behind the plate. We know Angel Hernandez is not a big fan of giving people, not a big fan of pitchers, but at the same time, the man is putting it right where it needs to be for a hitter to tee off on. And then Montgomery had a good start and then a bad one. And then Tanaka, he's still recovering from the line drive. And, you know, he looks like he's on an innings restriction, but he's been solid his two starts. And then if it's not for Garrett Cole, our pitcher rotation is not going to last into the postseason, especially since 90 teams are going to be in the postseason this year. So I don't really think that we're going to be able to win a series with this pitching rotation this the way it is. Now, losing 2 out of 3 from Girardi, it hurt because the Phillies pitchers were hittable. They really were. We scored the runs we needed to score, but we also gave up the runs that we shouldn't have given up. And then Tampa, whew, man, I have so many things to say about the Tampa series. And there's nobody on Tampa Bay that's hitting over 300. Nobody. Nobody on that team is hitting over 300. And we're giving up home runs to tie and then home, like, 11 strikeouts and you blow the lead with a 3-run lead. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the only thing is, coming up, we got the Braves, and the Braves' pitcher rotation is just as bad as ours is. Now, I'm not really too concerned about them, but the way we've been playing, it's not hard to believe that we could lose 2 out of 3 to them too. And we will win the cold start and then no other starts. Like, it's ridiculous. We're home runner dying again for the 5th year in a row. Nobody's getting base hits. We're not getting sacrifice flies. We're not getting hits with runners in scoring position. We're leaving men stranded again. Giancarlo Stanton is on the DL again. And it's the same old story with the Yankees, man. The same old story.
I mean, all fair points, Lou. All fair points. I hear you, man. Because the way I see it is the home run to die. For the most part, we've got off to the fast start with the home run to die approach. Now, not everybody's home run to die. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, Gio Urshela. There's some cats in the lineup that are heading for average. Even at one point, you know, Judge was locked in with the power. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know. But here's the thing, though. Like, this is why I fear Tampa out of all the teams in AL East, NL East. And no matter how bad they do, like how they played against Baltimore, and they struggled against Baltimore. For whatever reason, we have success versus Baltimore. And we've actually had a couple of game cushions because Baltimore beat Tampa Bay. The whole point I'm trying to say is the Friday game is a perfect example, the Tanaka game versus Snell. And the way I look at it like this, they pulled Snell early. They went to the bullpen. They went to Kittredge. They went to Fairbanks, Anderson, and then ended up getting Rowe. But 4 out of those 5 pitchers had relative success. The whole point is Tampa Bay has scrappers on this team. They have that nobody knows about us approach. They're the big bad Yankees. We're going to show them. And they have an approach like they can hit for average. I hear what you're saying, Lou, as far as they have nobody hitting over 300. And it's true. But the thing is, they will milk these counts. They will take what's given even in the crunches of crunch times. Even in the opening series, they played against the Blue Jays. They did the same thing against the Blue Jays as key at-bats, getting the right, just getting on a key double here. And everybody in there, it's even like 7 out of 9 cats in a lineup. It's just like a chameleon to this.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're hitting with
the thing about Paxton.
They're hitting with batters.
Right. Now, Paxton, he was doing his thing through 6. 3-0. I don't fault Boone for, you know, keeping him in there. But it's just one of those situations that Tampa Bay, they found a way to get to him, and they chip away. That's another thing. They chip away at leads as well. When you think you if this is how you handle Tampa Bay, you have to blow them out. Like, you got to win up like 11-0. You have to put them away and
right.
Early. See, the Yankees,
right.
Yeah, the Yankees were up 3-0. They had their chances. They did not capitalize. They hung around. They made a 3-0 game to 3-2. This is the game I actually did see. And then they got on base and they took advantage of Yankee errors. And then we could look at the Gary Sanchez game where when he had his chances and he's giving up pass balls. He's striking out with with bases loaded. So we have our opportunities. We're not taking advantage of them. And a lot of it is that home run or die approach will backfire against a team like Tampa Bay. It just does, because they have a lot of guys. They have that Oakland Athletic approach of, okay, we have former Cy Young winners on our staff, but we will pull them and we will go to war with our bullpen. This league is starting to become this, okay, we have a bullpen too. What you want to do? That's the way I see it. I mean, we had that too.
It's
don't
a
get
pool.
It twisted. Mm-hmm. Right. I just think I'm glad we got off to the good start. I really am, because, you know, the two-game lead and all the teams, like you said, makes the playoffs. That's a very valid point. Hey, Jimmy, anything else you'd like to add? And then we go back to Lou on that, or what's your thought?
I think we still have a chance to do some big things. You know, we just have to find a way to figure out Tampa. That's the whole thing. You know, we can't let them hang around. Like a good example. I mean, I was watching a game yesterday with a friend of mine who's a Yankee fan, and you know, we said the same thing. You know, as soon as they were blowing the lead, we said we can't let them hang around. If we let them hang around, we're in big trouble. And that's what we did. So, you know, as long as we can find a way to beat Tampa, I think we got a pretty good chance of making some noise. You know, in the postseason. You know, and I hope our pitching gets it together, because you know, I like what Lou said about, you know, we can't just, you know, talk about home run or die. It feels like right now we're on a new one, man. It's called Garrett Cole or die, because, you know, it seems like he's the only time we actually play, you know, somewhat decent. You know, we keep a lead is when Garrett Cole's in there. But when everybody else is in there, you know, we hang around, sit back and relax. You know, we can't do that stuff.
What is your thoughts on with Tanaka? I thought Tanaka pitched well through his five innings.
Oh yeah.
Are you confident about Tanaka?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, man. I think Tanaka's got a good thing going. You know, considering you know he had the line drive earlier. You know, you know, with his head and stuff. I think he's coming back strong from that. I mean, so. You know, Tanaka's one of our good ones. I mean, Tanaka and Garrett Cole are a driving force right now. So, you know, we just have to hope that others step up, because the last thing that we want to do is wear them out. You know, we don't want to wear out those guys. You know, come the postseason and then they have nothing left. I mean, but I like how our closers are doing good. You know, like Chad Green and all that stuff. They, I like what our bullpen's been able to do, especially going back when Judge was hitting bombs. You know, like so our bullpen is really deep, the deepest that we've ever had in a while. So. We got some good things going, man.
Yeah, and go back to Lou. I mean, Lou, I know whatever your point, I know you're pondering on something, but I got to really reiterate, this chess game on Friday is one of those situations where it's like you're playing a game of chess or an all-star level of video game. Like, one mistake, you're screwed. That game was Friday. Like, the Yankees were neck and neck with the Rays, and it really, to my opinion, I just think that pass ball by Gary Sanchez to set up the sack fly to Perez, that was the one run difference. And then, of course, leaving three men on the base with the strikeouts. His struggles at the plate is atrocious right now, Gary Sanchez. And we always get on him defensively. Nothing has improved. And the defense, or lack thereof, came back to bite us in the ass. Even with that said, Yankees have a first-place lead, couple-game lead on the O's, but, hey, what happens if the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. Let's get that perfectly clear. But it's when we get to the playoffs, how confident are you going to be after 60 games with Gary Sanchez? What if his bat does not come around? Because the whole thing is we will tolerate Gary Sanchez as long as he's hitting, you know, in 162 games, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, batting 240 or something. We'll tolerate that with that bad play defensively and, you know, like you said about calling games. What's your thoughts? And then any additional thoughts you want to say about any other player on the squad?
Well, I'll say this. So, number one, we're kind of offensively, we're first in almost every American League category. We're first in OPS. We're first in slugging. We're first in runs. We're first in this. And Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, and a few other guys are struggling big time. So for us to be in first place offensively in all those categories, everyone struggling like that, that's not too shabby. However, like we're talking postseason, right? So we were talking postseason ball. If Gerrit Cole can't start every game. So we need a number two man. And Tanaka is that guy, just while we're clear. And ideally, you know, you would have Sevy in there. And, you know, the rotation is not what it should be. But, you know, I think we'll be okay. But like you said, I agree with you 100% with Gary Sanchez. If you're hitting 240 and you're hitting 30 home runs and driving in 112, I can tolerate your pass balls. But you don't have time to warm up now. We have 60 games. So it takes Gary Sanchez about 60 games to warm up. And we don't have that luxury now. Like we just don't have the luxury due to everything that's going on. We don't have the luxury for you to find your stroke. I mean, we sent Andujar to the alternate state. We gave that boy 20 at-bats. That's all you get. You don't have time. Like, we don't have time for you to catch up. We don't have time for your bat to catch up. We don't have time for it. We have 60 games. And you're, like you said, it is a chess match. That game with the Rays on Friday was the tale of a good team. The testament of a good team is knowing how many different ways they can win a game, right? So we can win with blowouts. We can win in extra innings. You have to be able to win one-run games as well. You have to be able to win slugfest. You have to be able to win pitching duels. You have to be able to, like, that. You have to be able to win multiple ways. And the Yankees literally have one way to win. We beat up on a guy early and hold the lead. That's literally what we do. We do all of our damage in the first four innings. So if we ain't putting up 10 in the first four innings, we're in trouble. And we can't win a game. We can't win games like that. Now, I do want to give somebody their flowers now. I don't know what it was. I really don't know what it was that Cashman knew some stuff that we didn't know. But Mike Tauchman has been outstanding. And I want to let people know that man deserves to be an everyday starter. And with Brett Gardner and his age and his inconsistency at the plate, and then Stanton going in and off, on and off of the IL, you know, I'm praying that nothing happens. But, you know, every now and again we'll get a freaky injury from Judge too. Tauchman has earned every bit of his stripes. And I know Yankee fans across the world, they want Clint Frazier and just want to give him more at-bats and more of a shot. Whatever. I have to give Tauchman the credit that he deserves. And I think he's the player that nobody speaks about that we need to be speaking about. Defensively, the guy's great. He's getting his at-bats, and he's producing at the plate too. Like, we have to give the New York Rockies their credit. I love my LeMahieu, and I'm loving talking. Like, I got to give him his flowers when he can smell them.
Yeah, we definitely talked about Tauchman last couple of weeks. specifically 2 weeks ago. We totally agree. We're on the same page, man, about Tuchman. He's a professional hitter. That's the beauty about this roster in 2020, because if one guy goes down to an injury or struggle, we could always insert another guy. But, you know, what comes with that, you still need those repetitions at bats. You know, if Andujar, Frazier, Tuchman, whoever's going to be plugged in to go, whether it's DH or in the outfield, yeah, we have that luxury, and we should be blessed for that situation, blessed for that.
Yeah, we have an embarrassment of riches, is what I call it, right?
We sure do. And here's the thing, I mean, let's talk about Gleyber Torres at the plate, man. I mean, this is another guy. I know he's in a very important infield position. I mean, Jimmy, he struggled too. It's not quite the same Torres we got from last year. He's off to a rough start. He didn't have a hit on Friday like a lot of Yankee players didn't have a hit on Friday, and he's batting it. He's in the hundreds from the last time I checked, and he's struggling at the plate.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Torres? I mean, what's your thoughts, Jimmy, and then go to Lou?
Torres, Torres is one of those players I always said, you know, he has his good games and he has his bad games like everybody else, but. What I like about Gleyber is, you know, even though his batting average isn't that great, you know, he's still coming up big and we need him to. And we haven't even brought up. I mean, you look at what Mike Ford is doing right now. You know, he's another guy that, you know, Ford is another guy that's been hitting like crazy. So I mean, you got all these young guys that, you know, didn't get much of a chance any other year. In 2020, you know, getting a chance to prove themselves, you know, this could benefit us not only this year, but, you know, going down the road, you know, when things get back to normal, you know, we'll look and say, hey, these are the guys that we know can do good under pressure, and so, you know, these are the guys that are going to stay with us long term, and I think Mike Ford is going to be one of those guys that, you know, nobody's really talking about him right now, but when he hits the ball really well. So, I mean, I really like our lineup up and down. You know, we have some slumping players. Every lineup has that, but, you know, as long as we can keep it together when it really matters, that's what matters to me, man.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, man. So Torres, obviously, at short defensively, that's why he's there. I mean, our infield situation is pretty good as far as rotation, plug a lot of guys to multiple positions. But as far as how do you measure the confidence at Torres at the plate right now? Why the struggles for Torres? Why is it not translating all of a sudden? Or is it one of those Gary Sanchez situations where we're waiting for him to warm up? And once he gets on a roll, is that what it is? Or what's up, Jimmy? Then go back to New.
Maybe what Gleyber Torres. I mean, I think it's a warm up thing too. But the good thing about Gleyber is that what I've noticed is it doesn't take Gleyber 60 games like it does. You know. It doesn't take Gleyber 60 games like it does Sanchez. So my hope is that, you know, in a week or two, I think we'll see the Gleyber that we're used to seeing. Hitting balls out of the park like crazy. So because we know Gleyber could do it. So that's my hope as far as Gleyber goes. I hope he really gets it together, man.
All right, cool. Lou, what about you, man? Any additional thoughts, concerns on the roster and just, you know, the bullpen? And then you mentioned you got the game versus the Braves, Boston. Who else is it? Braves, Red Sox this upcoming week. I know they're home games. I can't remember the other one. It may have been Tampa. No, I'm mistaken. It probably is Tampa this upcoming weekend. But what's your thoughts, Lou, as far as upcoming schedule and everybody else that we have not discussed that you want to get to on this episode?
So I couldn't agree with Jimmy more. I believe that Glaber's going to turn it around. And the difference between Glaber and Gary is that Glaber's actually making contact. Like, he's not just striking out. Like, Glaber's hitting the ball. Mechanically, his swing looks a little different. Like, he's just pulling off a lot. So he's popping a lot of things up, and he's being real late, so the timing may be off. But I don't think Glaber's struggles are going to be as long-lasting as Gary's are. Because he's going to get it going. Like, he has a little bit more promise. Glaber's a hard worker. That's one thing we could all say about him. He's a very hard worker. He doesn't have – his game is not lazy as Gary's is sometimes. So I see Glaber coming out of this for sure. But it is concerning to know that – Glaber, every at bat, he looks like he's pressing now. So if he could just clear his head a little bit, he might put some better contact at the ball. I think with Glaber, all he really needs is some positive to happen at the plate. Like, if he can get a walk, he's not walking a lot. That's another thing. Like, Glaber's really not walking a lot, and which means he's not taking time to get the pitch that he really wants. So I think if Glaber could just slow things down, you know, just reel some things in, he'll be right back where he needs to be. I personally don't think that Gary is the same hitter that Glaber is. So his struggles are going to be more continuous, because we've seen the same thing from Gary year in and year out. We're shocked about Glaber because we haven't seen this for Glaber in the last 4 years that he's been with us. Like, Glaber's pretty much been on it when he needs to be. So I think he's just, you know, everybody, you know, started a little slow, but I think he'll get back. Another thing that I think we need to discuss as far as our team goes, Luke Voit, he's turning into either it's a big hit or a strikeout. We love Lukey. You know, we slandered the crap out of Bird because we just hated him. So Lukey kind of came in and, you know, he earned his first baseman spot. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Luke. Like, he's a power hitter. I get it. And I think most of our lineup is full of power hitters. But with Luke, the man swings at anything. I mean, it's literally, it's the ball's coming, I'm swinging at it. It doesn't matter who's throwing it or what speed it is. I'm swinging at it. And while in other times I applaud aggressiveness, he's doing this with runners on base, and he's doing this when we're trying to get a lead, or, you know, he's not being patient at the plate. And one thing the Yankee lineups always have reputations for is we're seeing a lot of pitches and we're working counts. And Luke's not working counts. Like, every time I look up, Luke Voit's 0-2. Like, it's getting a little worrisome, because the man is hitting behind Glaber, and at one point he was hitting behind Judge. So it's like, if you're giving Aaron Judge protection, I'm gonna need you to, you know, work some counts and look a little better at the plate, because sooner or later we're gonna have, you know, to make a decision at first base. Because, like, Jimmy, Jimmy's right. I could tolerate Mike Ford's patience at the plate more than I can with Luke Voit. So if it's a first baseman that we need, you know, Mikey's a young guy, and I think that with more at-bats and more everyday play, I like his bat a little bit more, because he'll work a count, and he's not just swinging and working and everything. And, you know, lefty bats, I love lefty bats. I love me my lefty bats. I love my righties, but I love my lefty bats, though. And Yankee Stadium is perfect for Mike Ford. So, you know, if Luke is just going to keep flailing open and swinging at everything, I'd prefer to keep Mike in the lineup a little bit more, personally.
I can understand that. I mean, you take away the right righty bat out of Lou Voigt, and then you substitute that with a lefty bat out of Mike Ford. It's almost, they're almost like, I would say mirrors of each other, but as far as the power perspective, yeah. Now, I will give the edge to Lou Voigt as far as power to center field and left field. I mean, Lou Voigt, I'm actually indifferent. I understand what you're saying, but because of the struggles we've had at first base, the last couple of seasons, primarily with exactly what you said as far as Greg Bird. Lou Voigt kind of had a little rough period going into the playoffs last year, towards the end of the season. I'm not as hard on Lou Voigt as you may be, so I can understand what you're saying. I get that. I mean, he's still, to me, I mean, I think he's kind of, I wouldn't say he has earned his Yankee stripes, but he's delivered, I say, through 25% of the season. He's had that big grand slam in Baltimore just like a week ago, it seemed like, or something like that. He had that big grand slam. He had the home run on that Saturday versus the Red Sox at home. But that's what he does. He's a home run hitter. I know, this series versus the Rays, I mean, he got on base on Saturday in that first game of that doubleheader. I can't knock it because that's his game. He's a big power hitter. He's probably, 260s? He's in the 260s now? He's doing a lot better than some of the other power hitters in this lineup. I just look at that. Lou Voigt, if he could get to that 270 range batting average-wise, for what we know what his makeup is, I'm cool with that. But I hear what you're saying, though. It's still early for me, though, on Lou Voigt. I'll say that. What other things would you like to see as far as from Mike Ford, Lou, before we go around for final thoughts?
I want to see some more at bats. Like, I want to see Mike Ford in the lineup more. Like, he's essentially being put in the game mostly for righties and to give Luke, some days off. But just like Talkman, I have faith that Mike Ford could be something special if he got more playing time. And I think that's – and we actually have – I mean, considering we have a very condensed season, we can't give our starters a lot of time. Like, we can't give everybody a shot to play. I'm aware of that. But I don't know. I like Mike, man. He's got that pretty stroke, that pretty lefty stroke that we all see, the ones that the towering home runs to right field. Like, I love that. I love his swing and I love his power. And I love that, this guy traded a career at Princeton to be a Yankee. Like, it's a good story. And I would like to see him in the lineup more. But I understand that, Lukey is our first baseman. I mean, he earned that spot, and he's got to be in the lineup mostly all the time. But if we could find some way to fit him in, I think it'd be it's nice now because we can have Stanton. Stanton's going to be out for a little bit, so Mike DH pretty regularly, and we'll see what he got. But I just like his bat in our lineup. It just meshes well. Like, putting a lefty behind Judge or – even putting a lefty behind Glaber or, what I'm saying? Like, I like his presence in the lineup because he fits the makeup of the Yankee batting order. I've always said that the Yankee batting order is a very patient batting order. We work counts and we're not jumping on pitches and we're not like everybody gets 3-2 counts and Mike's that kind of hitter. So when Luke's at the plate now, it's kind of like, Luke wants to swing and Luke wants to pulverize the baseball, and I'm cool. Like you said it, I'm cool with 260, 270, but he's not hitting that. Luke is in the hundreds, just like Glaber is, and just like Sanchez is. So if Luke could turn it around, great. But if not, I think – I'm not saying Mike's a better hitter, but Mike's definitely more patient at the plate, for sure.
No, Luke is, he's in the 250s right now, bro.
Is he really? Hold on.
I thought it was 260, but he's in the 250s. He may be in the 250s after the series, though. No, he's doing all right. But it does not go against your point, though, because I'm with you on my Ford. This is the beauty of this roster. Right. We are deep.
You might be right.
We are deep.
Yeah, 256. You're right. Yeah, we are deep. We're definitely deep.
It's something like
deep.
This. I'm with you, man, on Mike Ford, man. It's so hard because you can't get everybody in the lineup. Boone has so many options, so many decisions to make.
It just makes me miss Didi more, man. Like, that's it really. Like, it just makes me miss Didi more.
Well, yeah, because Didi, in the sense of his glove, is so reliable. And
so
he
reliable.
Had a bad break coming off the injury. And I just think he probably didn't get as many reps as he would want, and to really boost up his average to maybe remain with the Yankees because of the depth we had. And that becomes more business than anything. Of course, I think at the end of the day, they would love to keep Didi because Didi, he is a Yankee, in my opinion. He fits the mold of what a Yankee prototype is, especially,
agreed,
you know, coming after Jeter. But, you know, it comes down to cost and you know, it's their pocketbook. I can't really go against it. Hey, Jimmy, your final thoughts? You know, we got the Braves. We got the Red Sox. No, I'm with Lou. Don't sleep on anybody. But if the Yankees wake up, I think we could really go on a nice little run with this homestand, Jimmy. Your final thoughts?
And agreed.
Then... Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, I think we can, you know, the Braves and Red Sox don't really scare me, man. You know, yeah, I mean, the Braves have a couple of young guys, like Ron Acuna Jr. and stuff like that. But you know, they don't really scare me. You know, as far as like Boston goes, they really, really don't have. I mean, you know, gone are the days of when they had, you know, Porcello, and you know, like when they had really, really good pitching. Those days are gone. So I mean, if we can get on a roll and you know, do the little things that we got to do to win, we can easily make up some ground, you know, for these losses to Tampa. So, man, it's always a great show to do this, man. And go Yankees, man. Let's get it going.
Go Yankees, shout out to Jimmy, man. Thank you, bro. Shoot, I'm surrounded by Eagles fans on this episode now that I think about it. Lou, final
thoughts. Sure are. Sure are.
Go ahead, Lou, final thoughts for you.
All right, bro, let me fire it up. So I'm a superstitious man, so I could just tell you that in 2009, when we won our last World Series, the turning point was that series in Atlanta. So if history is on our side, this could be where we start this nice run of ours. So I feel like we have the lineup that could really do some damage on Atlanta pitching. So I can't wait for the Atlanta series. Being that I live in Atlanta, that's actually the biggest – that's very exciting to me to know my Yankees are going to be in town. I really think we could do some damage at home with these homestands. Look, Boston's struggling right now. They're going through some growing pains right now. And at this point, I'm ready to put them out of their misery. Like, if we're going to seek some vengeance on these embarrassing series we just had on Boston pitching, because they don't have any. So I'm ready to rock, and I'm ready to turn the season around and start getting back to the winning ways. I think 10-6 start isn't terrible because it's April. But seeing as how this is August and then we have September and that's kind of it, we have to move with a sense of urgency now. So this could be the series where it begins. So I'm ready to go and ready for our Yankees to, you know, really put take charge in this AL East.
I'm with you, bro. Shout out to Jimmy. Shout out to Lou. And the Braves, the Red Sox, and we'll rendezvous back next Monday. Next Monday, we got Tampa Bay on another 4-game series. So we will have more Tampa Bay talk. Matter of fact, we'll have a post game after that game. As long as there's no rain out or something like that. But for Jimmy and for Lou and Dugout Podcast, man, Bleed Blue, everybody stay safe, of course, and I'm confident. I think we'll get through this week, make up some ground or make up some loss from this past two series on the road. And let me say this real quick before we get off, because I know we're running out of time. I don't like the fact that if we're in an opposing team's ballpark, that we are, like, if we're, like, in Philly, we were the home team one of those games. That is silly to me. I can't get around that, man. I don't know how y'all
it's
feel
awful.
About that. I know.
It's awful.
It doesn't make no sense, man. Like, if we go to Philly, the Yankees is the home team. Like, when I was watching that game, I couldn't believe they would, like, it doesn't make sense, man. I just wanted to throw that shit
strange.
In. I hope they don't get rid of that, man. But
yeah, it was strange.
Shout out, fellas. Yeah, Lou and Jim and myself, Steve. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?